Okay, so let's read together Job chapter 13. Behold, my eyes has seen all this. My ear has heard and understood it. What you know, I also know. I am not inferior to you. But I would speak to the Almighty, and I desire to argue with God. But you smear with lies. You are all worthless physicians. Oh, that you would be completely silent, and that it would become your wisdom. Please hear my argument and listen to the contentions of my lips. Will you speak what is unjust for God and what is deceitful for him? Will you show partiality for him? Will you contend for God? Will it be well when he examines you? Or will you deceive him as one deceives a man? He will surely reprove you if you secretly show partiality. Will not his majesty terrify you and the dread of him fall on you? Your memorable sayings are proverbs of ashes. Your defenses are defenses of clay. Be silent before me so that I may speak. Then let come on me what may. What should I take my flesh in my teeth? Or why should I take my flesh in my teeth and put my life in my hands? Though he slay me, I will hope in him. Nevertheless, I will argue my ways before him. This also will be my salvation, for a godless man may not come before his presence. Listen carefully to my speech, and let my declaration fill your ears. Behold, now I have prepared my case. I know what that I will be vindicated. Who will contend with me? For then I would be silent and die. Only two things do not do to me, that I will not hide from thy face. Remove thy hand from me, and let not the dread of thee terrify me. Then call, and I will answer. Or let me speak, then reply to me. How many are my iniquities and sins? Make known to me my rebellion and my sin. Why dost thou hide thy face and consider me thine enemy? Wilt thou cause a driven leaf to tremble? Or wilt thou pursue the dry chaff? For thou dost write bitter things against me, and dost make me to inherit the iniquities of my youth. Thou dost put my feet in the stocks, and dost watch all my paths. Thou dost set a limit for the soles of my feet, while I am decaying like a rotten thing, like a garment that is moth-eaten. Amen. So Job is continuing to reply to his three friends, and it's going to go on for one more chapter, and then we're going to go into round two, where his three friends will make another argument. He starts off similarly in chapter 13, like he did in chapter 12, and basically, you know, I know all these things. In verse 2, you know what you know I also know. And I'm not inferior to you. And so he's speaking of the frailty and of the arguments that they're laying out. Remember the common arguments they're laying out. But more than that, he's basically relaying to them, which is true, that they don't really know what they're speaking of. That they are representing God, but they're actually representing God not in a right way, because they're wrong. Even really apply to Job at all. And so, and Job is coming to these. When he examines you, or will you deceive him as one deceives a man? He will surely reprove you if you secretly show partiality. They are showing partiality, but they're showing partiality to themselves and their own reasoning and their own logic. And he's basically saying, God were to shift happens in Job. I mean, it's actually quite a powerful shift, and you can now see the difference when in other times when he's speaking. Is it his real heart, or is it just his feelings? And I think a lot of times when we are dealing with people, we have to really begin to discern the difference between the two things. Like, we've been talking about the orphan heart and these things, and like in your work, you know, maybe your colleague that's really giving you a lot of difficulty, is that their true heart? Like, are they just have something against you, or is it just a passing feeling, or they're just expressing some feelings they have, but it may not necessarily be the true heart that's going on. I think we do this with people all the time. We have to discern, is this really what's in your heart, or did you just simply make a mistake? Did you just simply express some feeling that you felt at that moment, but that's not what's really inside of you? And in 13 and 19, we finally get a glimpse of Job's true heart. What's really inside of him, this, not just his feelings or some things that he says, because when we look at some of the arguments he's laying out before his friends, it seems like some of the things that he's saying, it's kind of like, oh, where's that coming from? But now in 13, 19, you actually get his true heart, what's really, really in his heart. And so in this way, it's okay to express our feelings to God at times. Why? Because he truly knows our heart deep inside. More than we know ourselves. And so sometimes when we feel like we've offended God, God's not offended by these things, because he recognizes the difference between our feelings, what we're going through at that time, versus what's truly, truly in our heart. And remember, all through the Bible, there's always a note that God understands and God truly sees our heart. And this is like, thank God, you know, that this happens. So I'll give you some examples. Verse 15, which is really the central verse here in the whole book of Job, really. And he says, though he slay me, I will hope in him. Other translations say, I will still hope in him. And even the word slay is the word for kill. So this is not some hidden meaning. It means kill. And so God, if you, it's katal, if you kill me, I will still trust in you. Nevertheless, I'm going to argue my ways before you. And he says, this will be my salvation to me. I have prepared my case. Who will contend with me? And so on and so forth. And he's really laying this simple truth out, that though he slay me, and the reality is, this is happening to him right now. He is being slayed. We could use the word discipline and all these things. I mean, regardless, there's something happening with him. This affliction has come upon him, and he understands that. But he's saying here that I'm going to come out as gold in this way. There's a great book that I think all of us should read. It's by C.S. Lewis, called The Screwtape Letters. And it's really about an uncle. It was a newspaper column that turned into a book, and it's a story of a senior demon speaking to his nephew, who is like a minion demon, you know, very low rank, and he's basically giving him strategies and ideas and encouragement of how to attack humans. Particularly, he's this one British man who's gone into the war, and so that's the assignment. That's Wormwood is the junior demon. That's his assignment, and Screwtape is the head demon. And there's this quote in here. So I paraphrase this quote all the time, but this is the actual quote. He says, "Do not be deceived, Wormwood. Our cause is never more in danger than when a human, no longer desiring, but still intending to do our enemy's will." Remember, the enemy is God, okay? "Enemy's will looks round upon a universe from which every trace of him seems to have vanished and asks why he has been forsaken and still obeys." I like the paraphrase better. You know, hell is never more afraid than when a believer looks out to the universe, sees no sign of God, no sign of love, and says, "I trust him anyway." And this is the anthem of faith, that though you slay me, doesn't matter. I'm not going to be deterred in my trust for you. And Charles Spurgeon, he writes this, and he says here that there are, I'll just read this little passage I drew out today. He says, there are three things in the text. A terrible supposition, though he slay me. A noble resolution, yet I will trust in him. And thirdly, a secret appropriateness. This last will require a little looking into, but I hope to make it clear that there is great appropriateness in our trusting while God is slaying us. The two things go well together, though it may not so appear. And Spurgeon, let's love his writings. He says, a terrible supposition, though he slay me, a noble resolution, yet I will trust in him. And thirdly, the secret appropriateness. In other words, Spurgeon is saying it is appropriate that God can slay us and we should still trust him, even though it may not look like it. And then he lists a couple of things. He writes this, he says, slaying times are good times, even though we know when we're going through it, that never seems the case. But he says such times show us that we're really his sons and daughters, because remember, he only chastens his children. Such times, slaying times are good times because that's when real faith is created. He says slaying times are good times because that's when God tests and affirms our faith. And such times are good times when we can grow in our faith. And such times are good times when they allow the child of God to prove that he's not a mercenary professor of faith. In other words, it doesn't just suit him in good times. And Spurgeon is really drawing us into this place of recognizing that it's actually in these troubled moments of our life that we could actually offer up faith to the Lord. Remember the verse that, I mean, just if you, there's always, to be honest, it just really haunts me in many ways. When Jesus says, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? Even though things are not going well, will they still find the man and women of faith? And I mean, you look at this, you know, in the midst of coronavirus, will the Lord find faith on the earth, or will they find Christians that are just wrought in fear? And trust me, it is a fearful time for sure. But the child of God trusts in the Lord above everything else. And then you see, like I said, the shifting that's happening, in Job. Again, is it his, you know, when he writes all these things, is it his feelings or his true heart? And recognizes, no, he's just talking about his feelings. And how do we get to that? When we look at verse 20 and down, he comes to this realization. It says, only two things do not do to me. Then I will not hide from your face. So two things don't do. Don't remove your hand from me, and let not the dread of thee terrify me. Then call and I'll answer. So he says here, don't remove your hand from me. And Job, he's basically what he's saying, that he's understanding that even in this time, he's recognizing that God is sustaining him in the midst of this trial. Remember earlier in chapter 7, Job asked God to leave him alone. And you realize that, no, that was just a feeling. That was something that he was saying, but that's not really what was his heart. Because now he comes to this place and says, Lord, you know, don't withdraw your hand from me. That's his true heart. And so he was speaking he had a feeling of abandonment at that time, but his true heart, he wanted to be near God. And so he says, Lord, don't remove this. You can do all these things to me, but these two things don't remove your hand from me. Acknowledging that even in the midst of his difficulty, God is sustaining him in this time. The famous poem. And then he says, and the dread, that makes me afraid. What is the dread that makes Job afraid? Well, we hear it in the next verse. And he says, then call and I'll answer. Let me speak and then reply to me. What he's basically saying is the dread that he feels is that he will not have communication with God. That becomes so central to Job. And that's what he really is. Two things. Don't do this. And please make sure, you know, that we can speak to each other, that I could hear your voice and that you could hear my words and my prayers and these things. And it's really that expression, man. This is really Job's true heart. Job, in his heart, regardless, but the things that he's saying, they're momentary words. It's not what he's truly feeling inside. And his true heart, he says, Lord, I just want to be near you. And I want to hear your voice, and I want to have communication. In other words, I want intimacy. I want to have a relationship with you. That's what he's really feeling deep inside of his heart. Even though he says, Lord, you know, leave me alone. You know, Lord, you know, why are you doing this? So on and so forth, and all these things that maybe seem like complaints. And then we can recognize, oh, God accepts these things. You know, he speaks to, in the Old Testament, Isaiah says, come and let us reason together. He's not offended by these actions. And, you know, kind of reminds me of like arguments I get into my wife, and, you know, and maybe I say something and I don't really mean it. And you know, we have this argument, and I remember always turning to her and says, hey, you know, Lisa, can you just understand my heart? You know, and even though I may have said this and this may seem contrary, but you know, so I'm like, I'm a good guy. This is my heart deep inside, and that you know, I didn't mean to do these things. And we're finding that Job is coming to this reality kind of towards the, you know, latter part of this first discourse with his friends that he's coming to, and he's coming to an understanding. He's coming to some level of peace, and even to the fact where he says later on, he says, Lord, let me know, you know, let me know my sins. Let me know, make known to me my transgression of my sin. And where before he was just always stating how blameless he was. But now, you know, there's this idea, okay, yeah, maybe there's something there inside of me. And he's finally coming to this revelation, this realization, and it's a pretty cool jump or a progression that's happening within him, and so he's coming around in this way, and he's starting to express what's really in his heart even before his friends, I think it's a really good. A good kind of shift that's happening. He's coming to terms with his heart, despite the things that he's been saying in this way. So, I mean, let's close our eyes today. And as we enter into a time of worship, I mean, let the Holy Spirit speak to you for a moment. In kind of on the flip side, I mean, what's in your heart? I love, you know, Job says, you know, you can do whatever you want. These two things, Lord, you know, don't remove your hand from me. And I want to hear you. You can call and I'll answer and so on and so forth. And I mean, that was truly what was in his heart. And in other words, Job was, Lord, I want to have a relationship with you. I want to be intimate with you. And so what's really in our own hearts? What if we were to stand before God, what are the two things that we're saying, God, please don't take this away from me? You know, maybe for some of you, it's my girlfriend, you know, or my job or something. But for Job, it was his relationship with God. That was what really drove him more than anything else. That's why even God calls him in the early two chapters that he is blameless. And so let the Holy Spirit really speak to us today, despite whatever is going on. What's really deep inside of us? Is there a real longing for God? And if not, ask God to change our hearts, because he does that. In fact, he doesn't change our hearts. He says he gives us a new heart and a new spirit. And so as the team leads us in a song, let's just meditate on that. What do I really desire from God? What's really deep inside? And as we sing before the Lord, let's meditate on that.
see me through the seasons. Cover me with your hand and lead me in your righteousness. To me, I'm carried in everlasting arms. You'll never let me go through it all.
Let's go before the Lord and let's offer to God our pure heart. Pure meaning first, untainted, best. And let's offer to the Lord our pure heart. Let's pray. I mean, let's earnestly pray this morning that we have our feelings at difficult times, but truly our heart would really stand out before the Lord, that we offer him our pure heart. Love the Lord our God with all of our heart. Let's pray this morning. Our community prayers, and let's pray for friends and family that are battling through cancers and going through therapies. So let's pray for God's healing word over their lives. Let's pray for our community that is battling through illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Pray for our community that are battling through non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for open doors and God's provision. To our prayers over our city. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for the government. Let's pray against COVID-19. Let's pray that everyone that's been affected would be healed. And let's pray that the people will be restrained in their going out and these things, and that we would put a stop to this third wave. Let's continue to ask God to give the government wisdom. Let's pray against the wealth gap in our city. Let's pray for revival on this level of churches. Let's pray for our friends ministering here, Sports Services, Shanty, YWAM, Sons and Daughters, Stand Asia, Mother's Choice. Pray for the Korean Church, students, domestic helpers, and families in distress. And let's just really lift up our city right now. Let's pray for the staff. Let's pray that the Holy Spirit would be leading and guiding us, even though we're all working from home again this week. Let's pray for everyone's productivity. And is the Lord really minister into our hearts, real deep sense of unity and and a real desire to serve God and His people. Let's pray. Let's lift up our hospitality ministries of welcoming in Brista, even though we're not meeting right now. Let's pray that the teams would continue to form and there would be a real, maybe even training or something is going on in the midst of this time. And that when we do come back together, that they'll be ready to roll. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our worship, sound, and AV teams. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to continue to lead, especially as we're doing our online service. Let's pray for all the equipment and the cameras and everything that we'd be able to really put out a very good service on Sundays. Let's just really pray for these teams. Pray for our gatherings tonight. Let's pray for the Biblical Financial Stewardship class led by Andrew and our EG class that's led by me. Let's pray that in this class and this option class that people will really draw closer to the Lord and learn about financial stewardship and learn about experiencing God. And it'll be a really wonderful time tonight. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you. God, thank you for the word today. God, thank you for Job's resolve. God, even though you slay me, yet I will still trust in you. Help us to have that same kind of faith, God. And even though, Lord, we may express our feelings, Lord, in different ways, thank you that you always look at our heart. Man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. You know what's deep inside of us, Lord. And I pray, God, that there would be purity in all of our hearts, God. There would be, Lord, a love for God that's deep within us, Lord. And so help us, God. And if that's not there, give us a new heart, God. Help us, Lord, in that. God, watch over us. Watch over our city, God, in the midst of the third wave. Lord, just breathe over this place, God. Come, Holy Spirit. God, we thank you. We love you. Watch over us today, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.